ready.
All right, it is 7 o'clock, and we will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Board of Cecil County Commissioners Comprehensive Rezoning. Before we go ahead and start with the introductory remarks, I would please remind everyone to take your cell phone and either put it on vibrate or turn it off so we can be courteous to everyone. Secondly, anyone testifying for or against any of the requests, the board would like you to make your remarks to us and not to the applicant. We just ask you to be respectful to everyone involved. At the end of the day, we're still neighbors here, and we still have to shop and play and see each other at church on Sunday, so we don't want any hard feelings. So, with that, the Board of County Commissioners is holding the third public meeting in a series of three regarding the comprehensive zoning process. Tonight's meeting will focus on election districts 6, 7, and 8, as well as any text change requests and late change requests. The board will also be having deliberation meetings at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March 23rd, 2011, and Tuesday, March 29th, 2011, at 7 p.m. to ruminate on the recommendations of the staff and planning commission, as well as the testimony presented at the meetings on the 2nd, 9th, and 16th of March. The board will also decide on each of the change requests at one of the two specified deliberation meetings. The draft maps and draft documents will be introduced at our regular meeting on April 5th and voted on at our regular meeting on the 19th, and both of those are in April. When your agenda item is called, please come forward and present your testimony. Opponents and proponents will be given the opportunity to be heard. Staff will provide the recommendations from the Office of Planning and Zoning and from the Planning Commission. So with that, we will go ahead and start. Director Sandstrom.
First item on your agenda this evening is item 0701. The property owner is Pamela R. Howard. The property is located at 378 Linton Run Road, Port Deposit. The applicant is Pamela R. Howard, tax map 23, parcel 482. It's proposed to be northern agricultural residential. The request is to make it rural residential.
Good evening, commissioners. As you can see, my property is the one with the little, the little thing that looks like a civil defense symbol. It's currently zoned northern agriculture, but as you can see, the farm across the road is zoned rural residential. The property in the back is mineral extraction, and it's my understanding that that zoning can change sometime in the future. Of the properties between Dryer Drive and that squiggly line is Principio Creek. The only ones that are anywhere near to farming is mine. I have a few beef cattle. My next-door neighbor to the left toward Dryer Drive has a few beef cattle. The rest of it is just single family homes. A lot of it's wooded. The three properties, the three places on the property by Principio Creek were subdivided off after the northern I'm pretty sure after the northern agriculture zoning went in. I just feel with the way the county's growing and the location of this property, rural residential, is a better fit.
Okay. Any questions from members of the board? Anyone in the audience care to speak in favor of this rezoning request? Anybody here to speak in opposition? Okay, we'll defer to Director Sandstrom.
The staff as well as the Planning Commission have both recommended approval of this request. Okay. Next item on your agenda is 0702. The property owner is Principio Iron Company, Winch Road and Pulaski Highway. The applicant is David J. Stewart, tax map 30, parcel 117. proposed to be northern agricultural residential with an MEB, mineral extraction B, overlay. The request is to make it business general.
Good evening. I think the request is relatively straightforward. The request is to restore this parcel to its commercial designation as it currently exists. It's vacant, but it has been zoned commercial since the last comprehensive rezoning, and we simply wish to maintain its current zoning status. Both the staff and the Planning Commission, I think, viewed it as an error. So that's the nature of our request.
This is just for the portion north of Route 40, correct?
Correct,
Mike?
Yes.
Just for clarity.
That's all we've asked for, yes.
The NAR and MEB, that's the current zoning?
No. Current zoning is BG.
Okay.
And it's proposed to be NAR with MEB overlay.
Oh, okay.
The parcel is larger than just the portion that we've made the request on. The portion that we're requesting for BG is the identical parcel that's currently BG.
Okay, any questions from members of the board?
What's the zone with the blue dots?
That is the current zoning of SR.
SR?
Suburban residential.
Anyone here in the audience here to speak in favor of this rezoning request? Anybody here in opposition to this rezoning request? Okay, I'll defer to Director Sandstrom.
Both staff and the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request. Okay. Next item on your agenda is 0801 and 0802. The property owners are Richard and Joanne Henderson. The property is located at 79 Rock Springs Road, Conowingo. It is proposed to be northern agricultural residential, and a request is to make both parcel 263 and parcel 320 on tax map 9 business general. If nobody is here, Mr. President, we can recall it at the end of the agenda if you'd like, in case they're running late.
Okay, we'll do that as a courtesy. And just for the record, Director Sandstrom, what happens if they don't show up for tonight?
You can either consider it withdrawn since they failed to appear, or you can consider it during your deliberation meetings if you choose to do so. It would be up to you to decide how you want to handle it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's something, I guess, the board we can take up. Okay. Well, how about if we move forward and we'll circle back to that one at the end of the evening?
The next item on your agenda is text request 01 from Ronald Hartman concerning section 25.2 of the zoning ordinance, low density residential, density permitted with use of transfer development rights. Okay. We can recall that one too.
We'll recall that one too.
Running late.
Okay. Okay, you just made it under the wire.
Timing, huh?
Sure. If you want to catch your breath a minute, Director Sandstrom just read, you know, what you're proposing.
The information package, which I've just given you, I had previously emailed you earlier this morning. I'm here to my text amendment request concerns the Office of Planning and Zoning's proposed Section 25 low-density residential, which equates to a low-growth area of the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan specifies two or less dwelling units per acre, whereas OPZ's proposed zoning allows up to four dwelling units per acre. This is in direct conflict with the comprehensive plan. 40-plus Cecil County citizens worked two or three years to create the comprehensive plan, and both the planning commissioners and the county commissioners spent many months in meetings arriving at a final document and submitted it to the county for implementation. I'm asking that our county commissioners find that the comprehensive plan should be followed. In this case, the comprehensive plan specifically states two or less dwelling units per acre for the low growth area. Therefore, the proposed low density residential Section 25 zoning of the Office of Planning and Zoning should adhere to two or less dwelling units per acre. I thank you for your time and your consideration of my request.
Any questions from members of the board?
I have a question to the zoning department. What is the definition of low growth area? Where can I find it in the book?
The section is, wait with me for a moment. If you go to your, draft zoning ordinance, section 25 on page 49, there'll be a purpose listed as to what the LDR or low density residential zone is trying to achieve.
Yeah, but is there a definition?
Yeah, that section, well, if you want to, the comprehensive plan details what the main objectives of the LDR is and what it should be. Where it should be located. The section 25.1 gives you the purpose of what the district is trying, the zoning district itself is trying to achieve. The comprehensive plan, as you're well aware, divides the county up into land use districts, and the zoning ordinance is creating zoning districts which are trying to implement what the land use districts are recommending to occur in them. The low density district in the comprehensive plan is okay. Mainly located on the periphery of the growth area.
Yeah, there's two different terms. One's in the comprehensive plan, and
right.
One's in the zoning ordinance.
Right.
Okay.
Any other additional questions from members of the board? Anybody in the audience care to speak in favor of this request? Just need you to come forward, state your name and your address.
Hi, Sue Furman. I live in the Highlands. As I mentioned in earlier testimony to the Planning Commission, after sitting through hours of its deliberations, my husband and I were interested to hear the frequent mention of a domino effect resulting from zoning decisions and concerns some of them had with future impact of the decisions. It was gratifying to hear that night, and I'm hopeful that awareness and motivation can continue to serve us. As we heard many times, quote, we have to draw the line somewhere. And my question is, why can't the comprehensive plan provide that line? In the plan, as you all just talked about, section 25, similar to Ron's comment, it's quote, low growth areas provide a transition from some higher growth areas to rural areas. That's some kind of a definition. However, buried now in number one, the purpose, are the newly added words that an LDR is to provide an appropriate development area for low to medium density with the help of TDRs, allowing up to four dwellings per acre. As Ron stated, four dwellings is twice that's now allowed under low growth area of the comprehensive plan, a clear violation of the plan. My question is, how do four dwellings per acre provide a transition area from higher growth areas to rural areas? Thank you for your time.
My name is Ed Cairns. I live at 104 Jackson Hall School Road, and I served on the Comprehensive Plan Committee. And I'd like to point out to the commissioners that a law was recently passed that says in enacting zoning, comprehensive zoning, zoning ordinances, and subdivision regulations, you must follow the comprehensive plan. And I'd like to see it followed. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else care to speak in favor of this request? Anyone here to speak in opposition? Hearing none, Director Sennstrom.
Staff recommended disapproval of this text change request. The Planning Commission deadlocked 3-3 and was unable to forward a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners.
Thank you.
Next item on your agenda is text request 02 from Michael R. Pugh concerning section 33.4 of the zoning ordinance, mineral extraction A, industrial uses in the MEA zone.
Once again, this is the copy I'm handing you out demonstrates the specific request that we're making. I guess I would view this as a tweak of the existing ordinance. In the mineral extraction district under the existing ordinance, there are certain instances where industrial uses can occur in the MEA district. What this amendment would seek to do would seek to broaden to also commercial uses in addition to industrial uses that under those certain circumstances would also be permissible. It's generally an economic development provision that would go along with any particular commercial or industrial development that would occur in that area zoned MEA and would be limited to 25% of the contiguous lands utilized under the provision.
Any questions from members of the board?
I just want clarity. On this handout, you bolded
my suggested changes.
Your suggested additions.
Correct.
To the ordinance.
To the existing and proposed ordinance.
Right. And that's just the bolding, which is adding commercial zones.
Correct.
And commercial, the word commercial and the zones appropriate to commercial.
That's correct.
So the intent and the goals and objectives of the district aren't compromised. You're just more permitted uses.
It simply says that in those special circumstances that you can also enable commercial uses in addition to industrial uses. It in no way expands the areas or the amount in which it can occur.
Just for a, you know, conversation piece, that's why I asked that question.
Yeah.
To make sure everybody understood layman's terms of what you were.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions from members of the board? Anybody in the audience here to speak in favor of this request? Anyone here to speak in opposition? Director Sennstrom.
Thank you, Mr. President. Both staff and the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this text change request.
Thank you.
Items T3, T10 through T24, and T27 through T55 have been withdrawn. Mr. President and members of the board. Okay. Next item on your agenda is T04, the Office of Planning and Zoning, concerning Section 66, Commercial Kennel, adding addition of subsections 5 through 8. You should in your book have a copy of a draft of the proposed language for Section 66, which would, in addition to subsections 1 through 4, which presently exist, add new sections 5 through 8. The purpose of this text amendment is to make sure that the language in the draft zoning ordinance matches the proposed language in the draft Chapter 209 regulations concerning commercial kennels, so that if both documents are adopted by the Board of County Commissioners, there won't be any conflicts between the two sections dealing with commercial kennels.
Any questions from members of the board of Director Sennstrom or staff? Is there anyone in the audience care to speak in favor of this? Anyone in opposition? I'm just grateful you guys are sensitive enough to work, realize that Chapter 209, how important it is, and to work with the Animal Control Task Force, so duly noted.
Both the staff and the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this draft language.
Thank you.
Next item is T05 from Jill E. Burke concerning Section 246.8A of the Zoning Ordinance, minimum amount of acreage for parcels transferring development rights or sending parcels, and also T-06 from Jill E. Burke concerning Section 246.8C and 246.8D, water and sewer service criteria for parcels receiving transferred development rights.
Is there anyone in the audience that care to speak in favor of this request?
If you would like, Mr. President, we can recall at the end with the others in case they are, for some reason, running late.
Okay, we'll do that.
Next item is text request 07 from George Kaplan concerning sections 22.2A and 23.2A of the zoning ordinance, minor subdivision densities in the northern agricultural residential and southern agricultural residential districts. Request T-08, also from George Kaplan, concerning section 24.2 of the zoning ordinance, major and minor subdivision densities in the rural residential zoning district. And text request T-09, also from George Kaplan, concerning section 3.8 of the subdivision regulations, major subdivision public notification signage and plat posting on the county's website.
Thank you. I'm actually going to withdraw T07 and T08. What they are is what I think are sort of minor inconsistencies between the comprehensive plan and the draft zoning ordinance, but I've reviewed the OPZ annual reports for the last 10 years, and they don't really seem to be all that important. So. But I do wish to speak to T09, which is the signing resolution. Just to start at the beginning, what I've proposed is a very simple sentence to be added to the zoning ordinance in section 3.8 toward the end, which deals with plat postings on the website and also signage. And I've just, the addition that I propose is simply the signs posted by the developer on the property and the plat posted by the county on its website shall be of sufficient resolution and clarity that the subdivision name and its overall acreage, all road names, lot boundaries and numbers, lot acreages, zoning notes, and similar information can be clearly read. So it's just a one-sentence addition that says that the information provided to the public ought to be readable. And the reason I did that, or the reason I'm suggesting that, in the case of signage on the properties to be developed, I've given you a couple of examples. They're not hard to find, where the signs are really the resolution on the signs isn't sufficient to read almost anything on them. And there's quite a number of them around, scattered around the county. I don't have a scientific survey of whether half of them are that way, or a quarter of them are that way, or anything. But they certainly are a lot of them that are that way. So I'm just proposing that we require that developers post signs that people can actually read, that contain information. And it must not be hard to do because there are plenty of such signs around the county. Developers are able to do it. So that's the one aspect of it. The other aspect is in regard to plats posted on the county website. Now, since I proposed this a month ago, I'm happy to say that the county has expanded the space that's available on the website, and it's expanded the size of the plats that developers can post there from 256 kilobytes to 5 megabytes. So that should clearly, we hope, in the future, as new plats are put on the website, provide enough resolution so that people can actually go in there and see everything on the plat and read everything. But actually, there's no actual requirement that the developer post a plat like that. So I still think language like this would be helpful in making sure that we have a standard for what's readable, both on the signs on the property and what's available on the website. And that's all really it does. It's just we want information that that people can read. And so I thank you for your consideration of that.
Are there any questions from members of the board of Mr. Kaplan? We get to ask the applicant questions.
I don't have a question. I just want to commend you for bringing this to our attention. I do believe that this should be a requirement that is met by county government. It would save citizens a lot of time not having to come down to see what's being proposed in their area. And the information on the plat is critical into the, you know, them determining whether they want to come down to either support it or not support it. So thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Any other additional questions?
This question is actually for staff. I noticed that the Planning Commission, as well as the Planning and Zoning staff, recommended disapproval. Even with my reading glasses, I'm having difficulty reading this, so I was hoping that you could explain what the rationale was behind that disapproval, please.
The intent originally, when the language that Stephen has up on the screen was amended into the subdivision regulation several years ago, was as a notification tool so that individuals wishing to become engaged in the process at the very beginning would have an opportunity to do so. At that time, there was a feeling that some folks may not have been aware of the previous method of posting the property with a cardboard sign with information on it as to what was going on was adequate. And folks were oftentimes surprised when earth-moving equipment showed up in a field and started preparing the site for a subdivision to be put in. So the Board of County Commissioners felt at the time that if a sign was erected at the beginning of the process, that would help in making people aware who may not be adjacent to the property, who may live in the vicinity or the neighborhood of the property, that something was going on, that would tip them off to get in touch with us, and we could make them provide the information that they would like to have concerning the whatever was being proposed for that project, for that property. And so the idea was to get people involved early on so that they could become engaged in the process, stay engaged if they chose to do so, or once they obtained the information that they were initially seeking, if they chose not to, that would be their option. And the information that we were requiring them to put on the sign, we felt was adequate to achieve that intent.
Terry, I'd have to say that the posting of the property is to bring to the attention of anyone that wants to know that some activity is going on. I would have to say that the posting should not be relied on for the information that's posted as far as the plat, because the plat can change, and the comments and the everything on the plat can actually change from the day that it's submitted to the day it's approved. And sure, the plat doesn't get changed on the board, let's say. So you have to be awful careful to rely on the plat and the posting on the property for all the information. I think it was supposed to get the attention so you would contact the authorities to get the information that you need to satisfy you regarding that development.
Perhaps I didn't make my question clear, and I apologize for that. I'm just looking at this and having difficulty reading it, and I understand, Mr. Kaplan, this came from our website.
No, those are photographs of actually two posted signs.
Okay.
If I had taken it from the website, you'd have even more difficulty for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Are these scanned? I take it if a guy brings in his drawings, or an applicant rather, the office scans the plat and then posts it to the
applicant.
How does that exercise work? That way we all know how, start to finish, how these things get on the yellow boards.
On the yellow boards, I go out and inspect them on a monthly basis when the applicant comes before the technical advisory committee. They do one of two things. I've seen where they have scanned it in and they've made it part of the sign itself, as Commissioner Hodge was saying, that doesn't change. And then there have been others where they have the sign and then they just put a copy, a paper copy of their plat in some plastic to protect it, but as weather, it does weather out. As far as the digital copies that are posted on the website, the applicant is required to provide it to the office in a digital format prior to the deadline, whether it's emailed or brought in by CD. And until recently, they were limited by a 250 kilobit resolution, and that was mainly due to the constraints provided by our IT department, which have been expanded through the efforts of our office and the IT office and Mr. Kaplan and Commissioner Grimmel.
Tony also wanted me to make you aware that in addition to the plat posting on the county's website and the signs, letters are also sent to adjoining property owners notifying them of the submittal. So there is a third process of notification as well.
We went from just the cardboard signs that the staff erected that Eric alluded to having the mailers, having the website notification, and having the much, though not perfect, the much more beefy signs that was required to be installed by the developer.
And then my last question is as a courtesy to the public, I mean, is there any way to ensure that this resolution can be brought up a little clearer? I don't know if we have the technology to do that or require the applicant to do that.
The photo from the field sign? If they laminate the, I don't know what the solution would be beyond their laminating the submittal.
Okay.
And you could get into a subjective situation too, where somebody says, "Well, that's fine. I can understand that," and somebody else says, "I don't understand what that is at all." And then, you know, then we'd have to be an arbiter to say, "Well, I guess that's clear enough. We can understand that." And then somebody says, "I still don't understand it." So,
I'm just trying to think of a way to make the. If somebody stops on the side of the road and they see one of those yellow boards, they can actually physically kind of read it, and it's not just this type of resolution. That's all.
There are plenty of signs in the county that are quite detailed and readable.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's possible.
Right.
Well, I don't see how it's fulfilling the purpose if you can't read the sign. If you can't read the plat.
Yeah, the purpose was to raise the awareness level of individuals so that they're aware a project is underway on a specific property.
I think the yellow.
And then people can, as I said, become engaged in the process and call us and say, "Hey, I noticed the sign.
Okay.
On such and such a property, what's going on?" And then we can fill them in on the details. Oftentimes, we invite people to come in and peruse through the file so they can see everything that's going on, as well as, you know, exhibits that may be submitted along with the plat, letters that may be in there, permits that they may have submitted, so that they get the complete picture of what's going on. David has oftentimes will try and work with people to. After having trouble with the what's on the website, to give them copies of something if they request it on a disc, perhaps, that he might have. So, I mean, we are willing to work with individuals. But the idea, again, was to raise awareness so that they're aware of the project and they're not surprised by something and didn't have any idea of what was going on.
Yeah, I appreciate, how much Office of Planning and Zoning does help, very accommodating. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the time to come into the Office of Planning and Zoning. Is it a requirement to show a copy of the plat on the sign?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I for one would hope that it would be of a resolution that you could read the details on the side. So.
Okay. Anybody else here speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Director Sandstrom.
As Commissioner Moore noted, both the staff and the Planning Commission have recommended disapproval of the request. Next item on your agenda is text request T-56 and T-57. The Office of Planning and Zoning has submitted the requests. T-56 concerns section 24.3 of the zoning ordinance, open space provisions in the rural residential zone, and T-57 concerns sections 4.0.9, 4.010, 4.1.16, and 4.1.17 of the subdivision regulations concerning concept plat requirements, extensions, and expiration dates of concept and preliminary plats. Tony DiGiacomo will provide you with additional elucidation on these text change requests.
For section 24.3, we discovered that the requirement for a common open space had been omitted in error, and this simply adds that requirement, and that requirement so added makes the RR zone consistent with the SAR and the NAR zones with regard to the required common open space. T-57, sections 4.0.9, 4.010, 4.1.16, and 4.1.17, per the request of the Planning Commission, allow for an administrative approval of an extension of a concept or preliminary plat on the first request. Subsequent requests for extensions of concept or preliminary plats must go back before the Planning Commission. The other thing that it does, and we've had some situations where plats or extensions thereof had expired a day or two previous to the Planning Commission meeting, and they were technically not extendable. This sets the drop-dead date, if you will, of the original approval the month, the end of the month in which it was approved. So regardless what date the Planning Commission falls on in, say, March of 2011, any extension that is granted this month, and we do have one, it will be good until, if this goes through, this extension will go to the very end of March 2013, not just to March the 21st. So the applicant doesn't have to worry, Planning Commission doesn't have to worry exactly when in the month that Planning Commission date falls. And you always get into the issue of postponements because of inclement weather, particularly this time of year.
I don't have this in my book. Should this be in my book?
It's in the subdivision regulations in the back.
Oh, copy of it in the. I'm just asking. I'm just following the exercise through the numbers. Okay. That's just so I have it when we go to deliberate this and vote on it. I just wanted to. Are there any questions from members of the board of staff on this one? The extension? Anyone in the audience care to speak in favor of this request? Anyone in opposition? Okay.
Go ahead. Both staff and the Planning Commission have recommended approval of these text changes. Do you have a copy of it in your book, Jen?
No, that was decided at one of the meetings. I don't know if there was a red or pepper in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. We'll have Tony email it to a version of that to everybody tomorrow morning if you can do that, Tony, so they can have a chance to peruse your proposed changes. Late change request 030.
Oh, time out. Sorry. I must have taken a nap. What happened to T-25 and T-26?
In our haste to get through the other withdrawals, we must have skipped over those.
Okay.
T-25, Nancy Valentine, submitted for section 28.2 of the zoning ordinance, addition of TDR density in the multifamily residential zone, and T26 submitted by Nancy Valentine, section 175 of the zoning ordinance, roles of private and public sector entities and community sewage systems.
I'm Nancy Valentine, 135 Pinecone Drive Northeast. I submitted a whole bunch of these, which I withdrew because basically they represented things that I found unclear, but not necessarily things I thought that the whole group should go over one by one. I still think that there are things with definitions that you would want to pay attention to and make sure that they match between the zoning regulations and the subdivision zoning ordinance and the subdivision regulations. But this one that I'm talking about first here, T25, really was probably an error in setting up both a table on the TDRs and the detail of description in another part of the document. It's intended that the RM zone be able to use TDRs, and that's what my request was, that they both match on that, that the RM category also be able to do that. So that's that one. The other had to do with some of the definition issue, that, which Mr. Sandstrom explained that it was all perfectly clear to him anyway, and I was not particularly clear on some of the stuff as far as this as the various levels of responsibility for various water and sewer functions. You've got community facilities, you've got public facilities, you've got another one in there, private, public, community, and there might be another level in there. But it was not real clear in the definitions, and I still think that probably needs addressing. And that's what those two were about. I think the place to really look at that is in the definition section, and if they were going to do something with it, I identified it as in the details of that section. But I think that a clear definition of what we call today, particularly since we have new systems going into place where we used to have things which were completely a public facility owned by the county operation. Now we've got things that are not going to be owned by the county but would be like a public one. So, you know, if that means it's a licensee or whatever it is, we want to make sure that we make it clear. And when we get down to community facilities, at what level is it a 15 or less, or, in which, when, or 15 or more, and when is 3 or more? It's just not extremely clear. And I don't have the exact wording for you, but I figured I'd throw it out there.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the board?
I had a question. Mm-hmm. Was there an issue where this came up, where the definition had?
Well, yeah, there were what appeared to me as a discrepancy. And again, as a layperson looking at this and trying to understand how the zoning ordinance is set to operate, as well as the subdivision regulations, it was not clear that a community facility, and whatever the other definition was. One was 15 or more, one was 3 or more. And I thought they ought to match if they're both called community facilities. But apparently I misunderstood part of that, but I still think there's things that could be clearer.
Okay.
Any other additional questions? Director Sandstrom.
T25, both staff and the Planning Commission recommended approval. T26. Both staff and the Planning Commission recommended disapproval.
Thank you, sir. Sure, go
ahead. Eric, can I ask why you recommended disapproval?
For section 175, we're talking about different things. A shared facility is something that is a private facility that serves a subdivision. A community facility is something that could either be a public or private water or wastewater facility that necessarily wouldn't be tied to a specific subdivision. It may serve unattached parcels. So the section of the zoning ordinance, section 175, dealing with shared facilities, is for a specific type of water service and wastewater disposal system that would only serve a subdivision itself. And the 15 lots where it put in there when we drafted it at the urging of the Maryland Department of the Environment, that he recommended not going any lower than that as a minimum threshold for the number of lots in a shared facility.
So 15 lots is the minimum?
Yes.
For a shared facility, okay. I didn't know that, that's why I asked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A community facility is what Ms. Valentine was referring to. Is totally separate from a shared facility. They're not the same thing. Mr. Mullen's lot, your lot, Ms. Moore, Mr. Dunn, and Mr. Hodge all could have five lots that are served by a community facility when that could be a private utility or a public utility. But it's not a subdivision in itself that is being served solely by the shared facility.
Okay. Any other additional questions?
Well, are those definitions in the ordinance?
Yes, the definition section 12, has definitions of community facilities contained in it. Steve has section 175 up there that defines the terms associated with shared facilities, which is in section 1B. That's fine. You can go to the section 12 if you want, but yeah, definitions are contained within the zoning ordinance.
Okay, any other additional questions? Thank you. All right, Director Sensenbrum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item on your agenda is late request 0309. Property owner is 273 Cherry Hill, LLC. Property is located at 273 Cherry Hill Road, Elkton. Christopher Diebold is the applicant. Tax map 20, parcel 251. Proposed to be village residential, requested to be multifamily residential.
The proposed zoning on this property will create a non-conforming use. It's a multi-unit building, and the subdivision ordinance only gives 1 year to reconstruct a non-conforming use in a total loss situation, and I don't think that's enough time.
Are there any questions from members of the board?
What is the purple triangles? What's that zone?
That is the proposed zoning of VR.
VR?
Village residential.
And what was it before?
Give me a second here. It was VR before.
Doesn't VR allow multifamily units?
Certain types of multifamily units are permitted. Their apartments would not be permitted in the VR zone. You could have a duplex or a semi-detached.
Any other additional questions? Okay. Director Sensenbrum.
Both the staff as well as the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request.
Okay.
Items... Late requests 0554 and 0555 have been withdrawn. Next item on your agenda is late request 0556. Rosalie Chernock and Charmy Polanski are the owners, 24 Hayes Lane, Elkton, Maryland. The applicant is Barry Montgomery. Tax map 26, parcel 217, proposed to be multifamily residential, requesting heavy industrial.
Good evening, everyone. I have a small piece at B&H Auto Parts, where we work at now.
Eric.
That's
want to state your name and address first?
Eric Polanski, 96 Red Point Road, Northeast Maryland. Sorry. We have a small piece that's multi-housing in the middle of our salvage operation, and we want it to be conforming with the use we use it as in now.
How about the light-colored red? What is the...
That orangish, reddish color, yeah, whatever you want to call it, maroon, is heavy industrial. The horizontal red lines are multifamily residential, and then the mustard yellow color is business general.
Okay. So the parcel we're looking at is the one that flashes green a little bit?
Yeah, where the hourglass is right now flashing. That's the one that the request is in for.
And, sir, just for information, do you own any of the additional parcels around that?
We own
all the red.
You own everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're just looking to have that conform to the...
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any other additional questions from members of the board? Okay. Director Sandstrom?
Did you ask if anybody wants to speak in favor or against?
Is anybody here that wants to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone in opposition? Director Sandstrom?
Both the staff and the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request.
Thank you.
Next item on your agenda is late request 0564. John and Jacob Bailiff are the owners. Property is located at 424 Bailiff Road Northeast. John Bailiff is the applicant. Tax map 24, parcel 48. Proposed to be northern agricultural, residential, and suburban transition. Request is to make it limited or low density residential and suburban transition.
Good evening. John Bailiff and Jake Bailiff are here. Okay, this is the home farm, the family farm.
Okay.
Jake is...
Mr. President, just for the record, you should have the speaker.
I was getting ready to, but I was needing to take a pause. Right. Sir, would you please identify yourself?
I'm Barry Montgomery.
And where do you live?
Port Deposit.
There you go.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No problem.
Jake is here. Jake is 20 days younger than me. We've lived here all of our lives. John, he's a lot older than both of us. But anyhow, if they want to have anything to say, that'll be fine. But basically, what we're here tonight for is last week, we had a request in. The Bailiff Road runs through their property. On the east side of Bailiff Road, they have about 20 acres that's zoned ST. On the west side of Bailiff Road, there's about 80 acres that is shown as NAR. Again, sewer and water is right there in the area that would serve the whole property. To the west of the Bailiff's property is a major subdivision project that fronts on Guzmar Road. You see all the lots there where Beaver Court is. That's a major subdivision. It's completed. All the houses are built on it. It's complete. So, but anyhow, so when we had the ST zoning in, it didn't get a favorable approval because the Comprehensive Plan Committee used Bailiff Road as a dividing line. However, the transition, there's no transitional zone in there, so we put in a second application as kind of a compromise for 40 acres of the west side of the road to be LDR instead of, or as an optional, to grant them some development of their property on the west side of the road. It kind of goes along. So you have the ST, and then you have the LDR, and then the back end of the property would be NAR like it's shown. Like I say, the Bailiffs have lived there. Ted Bailiff, their father, he lived there, had to supplement his income on the farm to raise his family, worked for Julian's and retired from Julian Contractors in Delaware. Jake even worked there, I think, for many years. They're wanting to upgrade the zoning on the property, and it fits the area. If you look a little bit to the north there, you have some transitional LDR before you get to the ST as well. So, the request is hopefully to get some kind of a compromise zoning on the west side of the property. John, you have anything to say? Jake?
We'll just need you to state your name and where you're from.
Jacob Bailiff, Northeast Maryland. On the south side of the property, I don't think Barry pointed out, but Logan property, that's all been, what's the rating, what's that on it?
ST.
That's all ST. That comes up on our farm on the other side of Bailiff Road. In other words, right in there, say where it comes up on it. The back part of the property is like, I guess there's 35, 40 acres back there. It's just like rocky, and everything. You know, it's just woodland. There's only 20 acres of tillable farmland on this on that side that we're requesting. And to be honest with you, when we sold the cows when I was 16 years old, we haven't made a dime off the farm since. There isn't any money. That, you know. I mean, I rent that 20 acres, and it doesn't even pay half the taxes right now. And I don't think it, 2 lots per acre is too much to ask. That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Again, and kind of summing up, the little drawing I gave you last week of all the sewer and up in that area and how it fits in that area, and it's just it's a good location for residential development out in that area. Utilities are there. Infrastructure is there.
I have one quick question. This is the same property we heard, I guess, about a week ago, and you're just offering an alternative to the original request?
We requested ST for the whole piece.
Right.
Knowing that might be not palatable, we put in a second request.
Mm-hmm.
So might make it easier for you all to decide. And
okay.
Again, like he says, the back part of the property is really not developable anyhow. Wetlands, stream buffers and things in the back end. So the front 40 acres would be all that's needed. And again, it makes the transition area that LDR creates.
So what you're doing, you're offering a compromise then from the first request.
ST to LDR for just half of it.
And leave the rest at NAR? Okay. Yeah. Are there any other questions for members of the board? Is there anybody here in the audience speak in favor of this request?
You won't always find me on this side on this kind of an issue. However, I think this is the right thing here because that's right next to 95 there. You see it down there in the bottom corner there. This has good access to 95. It has water and sewer. It's in the area that is so close to the growth corridor. It's just the other side of 95. It seems wise to make good use of this piece of property because it has water and sewer.
I like you.
You won't like me.
I never thought I'd hear Nancy Valentine testify in favor of Barry Montgomery, but there is... What is this world coming to? Anyway, is there anybody else who'd like to speak in favor of this request? Is there anybody in opposition?
Yeah.
Well, we have one more. I need you to identify yourself. Why don't you come on up to the microphone?
That's John. I knew he had to say
something. Got to do something for the record. I've been waiting all week to get the mine, so tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
My grandfather bought this piece of property in 1926. So it's been in the family since 1926. And when I started cutting hair, the milking was over, believe me. And you can't make a profit on that small of an acreage as far as that goes. It's just like to have your help on this, that's all.
Sure.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who'd like to speak in favor of this request? Is there anybody in opposition? And just for my notes, Mr. Montgomery, how much would be restricted?
40 acres we asked for.
40 acres.
43 left in the back.
43 to NAR.
Yep.
40 acres to the LD.
40 acres to LDR.
Okay.
And the rest would be NAR.
Just so we kind of have the transition. I just want to make a note here of the transition, that's all. Okay. Okay. Director Sandstrom?
Staff recommended disapproval of this request. Planning Commission recommended approval.
Okay.
Next item on your agenda is late request 0565. Vernon W. Tome is the property owner. Property is located at 1568 Theodore Road, Rising Sun. The applicant is Vernon D. Tome. Tax map 24, parcel 11. Proposed to be northern agricultural residential. Requesting rural residential.
You want the microphone?
No, I'm all right. I have a good, strong voice. I didn't know that was a commission I was flirting with on the way in.
Well, now we got to find out if you're up 1-0 or not.
I had to figure out which one it was.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
I don't want to hold up the process either, but it turns out His name is Finn. He goes over and pets her nose, and they lick his hand. And he used to come back and told his daddy the other day, they know my name. He said, "How? What do you mean they know the name?" They said, "And." All right. Family farm. Left to four siblings, two in Texas, two in Maryland. Looking at the development and so forth that's happened over the last 20 years since the last comprehensive plan, and looking forward to the next 20 years so we have another comprehensive plan, it would appear that our property is sitting right in the middle of the RR transition, and we know that it's going to have to be disposed of in a way that will probably lead to subdivision, and it will be a waste, it seems, to get eight lots on 83 acres when you could get significantly more that makes sense for the tax base. Now, all that is depending on all the health regulations, perks, and what have you. We've also asked for the one field, the hourglass to the top, to be mobile home. It's adjacent to a mobile home park. Not yet talked to those owners to see if they would be interested in it in the event that there's expansion in their plan for the future 20 years. But it just makes sense. Right now it's being farmed. It's going to continue to be farmed until a viable solution is found for its disposal. The Planning Commission approved the request. The staff approved the request. And I would ask that the commissioners do the same.
Mr. President, if I may, the request that Mr. Tome is referring to for the manufactured home portion is late request 0583, which is later on your agenda, but since he's presenting it to you now, we might as well. That's fine. The owner is Vernon Tome. Again, the property is located at 1568 Theodore Road. Applicant is Vernon Tome, tax map 24, parcel 11, proposed to be Northern Agricultural Residential, requesting manufactured home for the portion of the property north of Theodore Road.
And how many acres is that portion?
The portion on the north side of Theodore Road, it's about 8 acres. Been surveyed since 1934 or something, and we're not just sure exactly.
Okay, that just gives me a rough idea. And then the remaining acreage of the farm? The piece below Theodore Road?
The total acreage is 83, therefore it would be like 75.
Okay, and 75 will remain as NAR?
Well, and we've asked for that to be RR. Mm-hmm. And you look at the adjoining zonings, and even the key point that came up was that you've got your RR here, you've got RR over here, but you look at all the property in the general area that is listed as NAR, and it's consistent with the RR rather than the NAR. None of it's being used as NAR. These are all residential homes. So it appears, and you can look at the map farther the north, farther the east, farther the west, and south. Well, the south gets a little bit different because it's mineral extraction. But the Dalton Creek over the years.
Sprawl.
And it's so that piece of property is not any different than the others in the area. And we see it being split up, and it might as well reach its maximum potential. It might make more money for us, it might not, because if it's more than 8 lots, there's going to be roads built and a lot more stormwater done. So I don't know that it works out economically. We just ask that it be given the greatest potential it has for both the family and the tax base.
And the orange dots are already, that's already developed land?
No, that's mineral extraction district.
Mineral extraction, okay.
Yeah, it's all
But any other questions from members of the board? Anybody in the audience care to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone in opposition of this request? Director Sensrum?
Late request 0565. Both staff and Planning Commission have recommended approval. And late request 0583. Both staff and Planning Commission have recommended approval.
Okay.
Mr. President, the next 15 items are all submitted by Christopher Diebold. I don't know if you would like me to read all of them together and then let Mr. Diebold go through them individually, or if you want just to read each one and then have him do each one individually.
How did we do it at the marathon meeting last week?
I would recommend reading all 15 up front, and then Mr. Diebold can go through each one.
Okay.
Late request 0566. Property owner is Christopher Diebold, 324 Old Bayview Road. Applicant is Christopher Diebold, tax map 19, parcel 468. Proposed to be village residential, requesting multifamily residential. Late request 0567. The property owner is Perry O. Gross Jr., south side of Theodore Road and Biggs Highway. The applicant is Christopher Diebold, tax map 19, parcel 353. Proposed to be low-density residential, requesting urbanized residential. Late request 0568. Land Purchase, LLC, is the owner. Theodore Road, just east of Ron Biggers Lane. Christopher Diebold is the applicant. Tax map 19, parcel 505. Low-density residential is what is being proposed. Urbanized residential is what is being requested. Late request 0569, Charles and Barbara York are the owners, south side of Theodore Road, just west of Benjamin Farm Lane. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 19, parcel 69. Proposed to be low-density residential, requested to be urbanized residential. Late request 0570, Lawrence and June Benjamin are the owners, 50 Benjamin Farm Lane. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 19, parcel 70. Proposed to be low-density residential, requested to be urbanized residential. Late request 0571, Robert and Maurice Aline Lynch are the owners, 2466 Theodore Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 19, parcel 367. Proposed to be low-density residential, requesting to be urbanized residential. Late request 0572, Elmer F. Justice and Remmel Inc. are the owners, 537 Bailiff Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 25, parcel 232. Low density residential is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0573, Bailiff Road LLC is the owner, 525 Bailiff Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, map 25, parcel 325. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0574, Thomas and Doris King are the owners, 227 Old Bayview Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 25, parcel 617. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0575, Thomas and Doris King, 215 Old Bayview Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 25, parcel 5. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0576, Christopher and Carrie Diebold are the owners, 155 Old Bayview Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 25, parcel 756, lot 1. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0577, Christopher and Carrie Diebold are the owners, 131 Old Bayview Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant. Tax map 25, parcel 9. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0578. Stephen and Sarah Russell are the owners. 48 Old Bayview Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant. Tax map 25, parcel 11. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. Late request 0579. Aston Woods, Inc. is the owner. North side of Old Bayview Road and Bailiff Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant, tax map 25, parcel 441. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested. And late request 0580, Roy and Glenn Bloomquist are the owners, north side of Bethel Church Road and south side of Bailiff Road. Christopher Diebold is the applicant. Tax map 25, parcel 32. Suburban transition is what is proposed. Urbanized residential is what is requested.
In reality, I have two separate arguments I want to make for these properties. I would like to break out 0566 as it is unrelated. My request is unrelated. Again, this is a multi-family building. It's an eight-unit building that's always been an apartment building. I've been in this area for 43 years. It's been an apartment building for that long. I'm requesting RM. It is the only zone that allows apartment buildings. It is a non-conforming use in the VR zone. And again, my concern is that at a total loss situation, you only have 1 year to replace that according to the subdivision regulations. And I do not think that's adequate time to reconstruct a building of this size. Separate from that, this evening, I don't know if you want to ask questions about that one and kind of break that out separate. It's unrelated to the rest.
It's at the board's pleasure. I don't either. Okay. You can keep going.
Okay. The other grouping that I bring tonight, my application for the rezoning of these comes from my opinion that the Planning Commission has failed at its objective of determining the best use for this entire area, this quadrant to the west of 272, north of 95. The infrastructure investment in this area in today's dollars approaches $100 million. Artesian has invested in excess of $3 million in engineering alone on proposed asset construction to serve future growth in other areas of the county. As we debate how to and who will pay for the infrastructure along Route 40, we are preparing ourselves to underutilize these assets that are already in place and purchased by the citizens of this county. In addition to water and sewer, this area is well served by large collector routes 274 and 272. The area's access to 95 alone makes it a target of the residential home buyer. Shouldn't we prepare the inventory necessary to keep that buyer in as close a proximity to that exit as possible? Local commercial operations within walking distance of this area includes a convenience and gas operation, franchise and local restaurants, beauty salon, credit union, bookstore, auto servicing, as well as developable land in the BL and BG zoning, the orange, the purple dotted. County-owned recreational opportunities include McMillan Farm and Gilpin Bridge for open space, as well as numerous ball fields at Bard Cameron, Wilson Road, and Cecil Arena. Cecil County Public Schools and Cecil College growth plans to the north and the west should not be ignored when considering residential densities in this area. Site plans I've reviewed appear to be making plans for a much busier operation than exists today. Wouldn't it be wise to prepare to offer these users around-the-corner commuting versus the taxing of roads and intersections countywide? I'm also concerned with the outcome of Bills 1107-846 and 177-160, denitrification and no minor subdivisions, to paraphrase, and the consequences of them, both intended and unintended. One consequence may be the increasing cost of private septic, thereby increasing the demand of lots on public facilities. Although very difficult to believe today that there may be a shortage of lots in the future, preparing residential development in the proper location will never be a mistake. I would like to mention that although the Planning Commission disapproved these applications, there was a tremendous amount of discussion, debate, and agreement that this area needs further attention. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the board?
Mr. Diebold, I do have a question. I noticed that the application was signed by you as the applicant, but there were a number of different owners of the property. Are they here? How do they feel about this?
I don't know if property owners are here. I did not get permission from property owners of property that I do not own. Planning and zoning has given me the authority to make these applications.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other additional questions? Director Sundstrom?
Thank you, Mr. President. Late request 0566. Staff and the Planning Commission both have recommended approval of that request. For request late request 0567 through 0580, both staff and the Planning Commission have recommended disapproval of those requests.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Director Sundstrom.
Late request 0581, Robert T. Crouch is the owner. Property is located at Old Bayview Road and Biggs Highway. Robert Crouch is the applicant. Tax map 19, parcel 53. Proposed to be low density residential. Requested to be business general.
Mike Pugh for Robert Crouch. The parcel that is being identified for you now is owned by Mr. Crouch. It is located, if I could back up sure. just a little bit here, back out just a little bit more if you don't mind.
That's good.
Okay.
Is the area that he has indicated here, drawing your attention to this central area of the 272-274 intersection. Excuse me, that's over here. This is Old Bayview Road. This is the entrance road. It comes back and services the motel that's located with frontage on 272. This is the new shopping center area where the Pizza Hut and the Barnes & Noble bookstore for the college are located. There's a gas station located directly across here. The purpose of our request is to simply say that we believe that there's utilities at that intersection. There's already a commercial pattern established in that area. We believe that this parcel at this location, at this intersection, is more appropriately zoned commercial, consistent with the commercial nature of that area, and therefore we would request its designation be changed from LDR to BG. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions from members of the board?
Was there a previous application for subdivision of that parcel?
There was a combined application for subdivision on that parcel that included the two contiguous parcels to the northwest at one time several years ago.
For residential use?
For residential use, which since fell apart and is no longer active. And so Mr. Crouch basically wanted to reorient himself toward looking at its commercial potential since there's no intention any longer to develop the other two parcels.
Is the yellow post-it board still up?
Probably.
Ought to come down, right?
And how big a tract of land is that? 2.8. That's not very big. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at the spreadsheet.
Mr. Pugh, we found that. It was on the
sorry,
back of the
I'm
application.
Looking on the spreadsheet. And
it's 2.8.
Moore found it in the other book.
Sorry for the struggle.
It's all right.
What is the purple dotted zoning?
That is business local.
Business local? Isn't the high store vote on that piece?
Yes.
They have gas there, and that shouldn't that be BG?
Well, it's business local. Now we're just carrying it over. If the commissioners feel that BL is inappropriate and BG is the correct, you certainly have that within your authority to do so as part of the comprehensive rezoning.
Is I mean, clearly 274 and 272 are the major intersections in that part of the county and are zoned for, you know, the high-density growth in the comprehensive plan, and the college is certainly expanding its operations, so the need for commercial in that area will become, or is already evident, or will become evident.
Any other additional questions? Anybody in the audience care to speak in favor of this request? Anyone in opposition? Director Sandstrom.
Thank you, Mr. President. Both staff and the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Late request 0582, Charles and Barbara York are the property owners, south side of Theodore Road, just west of Benjamin Farm Lane. Christopher Diebold is the applicant. Tax map 25, parcel number is unknown. Proposed to be low density residential, requesting urbanized residential.
Ditto. I didn't realize we omitted this one. Same argument. This is a piece of property in that same grouping that I think is just being underutilized with our current proposed zoning.
Are there any questions of members of the board?
Mike, questions directed to staff. If this successfully is rezoned, the cost for taxes compared to LDR going to UR, is that significant?
That would be something we would have to defer to the tax assessor's office on. I'm not sure how just a base zoning change would affect the way the property is assessed, especially if it's unapproved property. That's something that we would defer to their expertise on.
I would think that this is something that we need to be careful with in the rezonings, finding this information out, because I'd not notifying the owner that there is a rezoning on their property being suggested that might affect their taxes.
If I may, last week a fairly prominent attorney in the area explained that assessments are generally based on the use of the property and not the zoning. If you were to farm RM zoning, the use of the property is what creates the assessed value.
I would just feel more comfortable if the, you know, the property that's being affected, the people, the owners, were aware of the zoning requests being put in, at least being a part of the process.
If you would have to notify the state that as part of the code to change a land use in a county, that they should notify the property owners then. Because the comprehensive plan has told planning and zoning to do a comprehensive rezoning of the county.
Part of the rezoning process is that they are aware, it's been advertised, they are the ones that are supposed to go look at the tax maps or the proposed maps to see what is being suggested, and then they have this process to come in. I don't know if there's enough notification on the other end. That's all.
Any other additional questions? Anybody in the audience care to speak in favor of this request? Anyone care to speak in opposition? Just come on up, and I need you to identify who you are and where you live, please.
Nancy Valentine, 135 Pinecone Drive, Northeast.
Okay.
This, along with the rest of them, which we didn't have, I didn't have a chance to speak to. I think we skipped over that part. But that set that we're looking at for urban residential, I think that's way overdoing the transition that we're making from the growth corridor up to the NAR area, and this one falls into that as far as I'm concerned, along with the rest of them that are on that request. And I do live close to there, down off of Old Bay, off of Bailiff Road. and it's a concern to me that we would even consider urban residential for that area.
Great. Is there anybody else speak in opposition? Director Sandstrom.
Thank you, Mr. President. Both staff and the Planning Commission have recommended disapproval of this request. Last item on your agenda is late request 0703, Pleasant View Baptist Church, 150 Down in Lane. The applicant is H. Barry Montgomery, tax map 23, parcel 41. That is proposed to be low-density residential. They are requesting suburban transition.
I'm Barry Montgomery, Fort Deposit. Pleasant View Baptist Church purchased 44 acres of ground there where the new facility is that our church operates out of. And we joined the Bainbridge property, and we're just requesting that the zoning stay the same as it is. I think it's DR now, and it's shown as LDR, and ST, I think, keeps it the same as what it was.
Okay.
So that's basically the request we're making.
And this is the church property. I'm sorry. This is the church property right there at
Down in Lane.
Right.
Got the mobile home park along 275 there. The yellow is the mobile home park, and all the white is Bainbridge.
Okay.
So it joins Bainbridge to the south and to the west, anticipating sewer and water will be available to the site one of these times. Our campus plan shows some multifamily housing there, so we can, okay, all them old Baptists can.
And I've only been there one time my whole life to the church. This is the piece of ground with the church physically on it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just need to make sure. I'm from the south, so once I get over the other canal, I get a little nervous.
Ms. Broomwood is on. She's been there. Who else?
Oh, I know. Right. Okay. Are there any other questions from members of the board? Is there anybody here who would like to speak in favor of this request? Is there anybody here in opposition? Director Sandstrom.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staff as well as the Planning Commission have recommended approval of this request.
Should we have the one last call for the one we had early?
Yes.
Just for the historical record.
Request 0801 and 0802, Richard and Joanne Henderson, 79 Rock Springs Road, Conowingo, and the west side of Rock Springs Road, Conowingo. Tax map 9, parcels 263 and 320, proposed to be northern agricultural residential, proposed to be business general. This, just for your information, was presented to the Planning Commission as part of the property. The West Cecil Health Center is purchasing for their facility, and part of the purchase, separate parcels are zoned BG, and these are not, and they were trying to make it all the same.
Okay, so this is for the West Cecil Health Center?
Yeah.
That's what they testified to at the Planning Commission hearing. I guess nobody's here for that. And the other is, that we were recalling, is T05, text change 05.
Can we do one at a time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I'm sorry.
Can they build a medical center on the current zone or the proposed zone?
BG.
Not on NAR.
They would.
No. BG. He's asking BG.
It would make them difficult for them to use the NAR zone parcels. They would have to basically keep everything they're trying to do on the parcels that are commercially zoned. The NAR would preclude them from even putting a parking lot over there for the facility.
So it would make it difficult to impossible with the current proposed zoning?
I don't think they have submitted a site plan yet, so I don't know how they are proposing to lay the facility out, but it may make it difficult for them to achieve their ultimate goal with split zoning on the property.
Okay.
Just again, for your informational purposes, the Planning Commission as well as staff recommended approval of both requests. And text change request 05 and text change request 06 from Jill E. Burke, 05, concerning section 246.8A of the zoning ordinance, minimum amount of acreage for parcels transferring development rights. And 06 was for section 246.8C and 246.8D, water and sewer service criteria for parcels receiving transfer development rights. Just to summarize from recollection, 05 was Ms. Burke had a concern that the acreage threshold of 50 acres for sending parcels was too high and precluded too many potential properties from selling development rights, and she desired that it be reduced. I recall if she put the figure,
I want to say it was 15.
Was it 15? She requested that it be reduced to 15 acres. I'm just trying to find her.
I don't think she's going to be 15.
Yeah. That's the one. Henderson piece.
Yeah.
If they're not here, right?
Yes. I would not deny their request since they're not here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They both got approval from staff and mm-hmm.
right.
commissioners.
And this includes this request, too. I think we can vote on this without them being here.
And the other request of hers, 06, was she wanted, instead of the way the language is now referring to the Master Water and Sewer Plan, she wanted to set a specific date as to when the maps show it as either a existing water and sewer service area or proposed water and sewer service area.
I'd like to have that, too.
staff recommended disapproval of T05. Planning Commission recommended approval. And T06, both staff and Planning Commission recommended disapproval.
And Eric, could you explain why you recommended disapproval on T05?
T05 we recommended disapproval on because we feel that if you drop below the 50-acre threshold for the sending parcels, then you're going to be flooding the market with development rights that cannot be used on the receiving end. Therefore, you will be depressing the value of the development rights, making it a worthless commodity to the rural landowner, and nobody would choose to sell their development rights because they wouldn't realize any value from them. So 50 acres is the absolute minimum to set the sending at, so that we don't create that situation where we devalue them to the point where nobody will be interested in selling them.
Thank you. Sir, is that the last one, I guess?
That, I believe, is the last of the recalls, unless I'm missing one. And that concludes your agenda for this evening.
Okay. So then you'll
reconvene on the 23rd and begin your deliberations.
And you'll have this available to us.
Yes.
Too.
Okay. I've been alerted by secret ballot that there's a gentleman in the audience who would like to make some general comments. So as a courtesy, we'll let him speak or forever hold your peace.
I don't know about forever.
Yeah. It's going to cost extra.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, John Belinsky, 986 Irish Town Road, Northeast Maryland. Sorry, I didn't realize your protocol as far as having to send these in. I would have been happy to send them in advance. I really only have four things I'd like to make about the zoning plan as I scan through it relative to myself as a small farmer. First, the land preservation programs really still do not exist the way I read the plan for the small farmers. It's got to be 50 acres or better. And we're leaving out a lot of people there. If you look in Maryland right now, we have already lost, since 2002, 21% of the horse operations, and most of those are below $1 million. Now, that's $1 million just for the property, not includes the assets of the property, which may throw it higher. The second thing I wanted to talk about was delete the county's ability to take land or an easement without compensation. Then I'd like to talk a little bit about providing security on the existing trail easement that you folks own. And then I'd like to change a planning commission procedure for personal items to come up during the meeting. All right, first let's talk about land preservation. Right now I mentioned that 70% of Merlin's farms are less than $1 million, and a lot of these folks can't participate in any farm preservation programs at all. We do know that 30% of those farms are over $1 million, and presently that's a big problem for those landowners, since inheritance tax in Merlin is 16% right now for everything over $1 million. There's a move afoot to change that, and hopefully that'll help those farmers out. Also, I want to make you aware, the tax guy from the state keeps telling me that there's a new definition for ag tax in Cecil County. And he says, I have to have 5 horses or 5 cows or 5 acres, and if I don't have it, he's going to multiply my taxes by 5, and I'll have to pay 5% sales tax on 33 of my 37 acres, okay? These kind of things are the pressures that are, you know, applied to the small farmers. At the back of the form, you can read it later, I've given you a whole list of items that have actually happened to myself and my wife as small farmers in the last 36 years in this county. Now let's move on to the Greenway. In 2000, the Greenway in the comprehensive plan did not include an imaginary line that was drawn through the Elk Neck Peninsula. This was added in September of 01. Okay, we had a person on the committee who was interested in establishing a hiking trail. This individual got to pick that imaginary line, okay? And of course, he's not on it. I doubt if any of you are on it. But there's only a handful of people, all of us old fogies, who are considered land rich and cash poor. So we can't fight you legally, you know, with a lot of lawyers. In about 2 years afterwards, it was like September of 04, this individual sent a memo to Tony DiGiacomo and said, we're ready to plot the first easement. Don't plot 5 meters, plot 10. So he doubled it. And then he wound up doubling it again because he told him, once you get the one for Rhodes Mountain 1 and Rhodes Mountain 2, which is now Highland, you go for the next development next door, Villages at Northeast. So now all of a sudden, we've got 20 meters, 62 feet to put in a 4-foot trail, okay? When my wife and I look at it, all we can say is, it looks like a land grab, because 62 feet would be a nice corridor. You get those two, and you get my farm and John Chadle's farm, which now belongs to Ann Witt because John passed away. You will have a corridor from Shady Beach Road all the way up to Irish Town Road, and you can put in water, sewer, electric, whatever you want, and you get it free. Normally, you have to use the process of eminent domain, if I understand that correctly, and pay people when you take land like this. We're not being paid for this, okay? Although some people say, yeah, you get the right to have a subdivision, okay? And the thing that really kicked in for us was when I found out that if I do a minor subdivision and say to my nephew, here's 2 acres, I'm building you a house, I want you to take care of my wife and I in our old age. If I do that, I have to give you 31 feet all the way through my land, which means 1 to 2 acres of land, no compensation. The first one we plotted, he got something for it. He got bonus density, so he got to build 67% more houses. When the villages at Northeast, which are locked into the old density, they'll get something for it. All the other landowners down through the peninsula now, because NAR changed in density to 1 to 10, aren't getting anything for it, okay? This affects the value of my land. It affects me selling my land, because if I sell my land, I've got to tell somebody, if you want to build a house for your kid, it's going to cost you 1 to 2 acres of land. Now, let's put in perspective to other people and what they're doing with hiking trails. In Wilmington, from Tower Hill all the way over to 495, they built a trail last year, finished it up, and they've got nobody that had to have an easement taken from them. Everything was voluntary. If you look at a bigger scale, the National Scenic Trail presently has 10,500 miles of trails. And on June 5th, on Trail Day, they're going to announce another 2,000. They got 4,000 more to go. These people are putting it together through voluntary easements and through purchase of easements. Nobody is having to take their land away. Only we in Cecil County are doing this for a handful of people, okay? And it doesn't take much of a manager to sit down and work out a system that's win-win, okay? Win for the farmer, okay? Win for the trail club, win for you guys, and win for the people of Cecil County. So that's what I'm asking you to do. Let's come up with a win-win that keeps you from taking my land, and Ann Witt's land, and Johnny Purvich's land, and Vince LaMonica's land, and all the other farmers down the line, okay, who are land rich and cash poor. Now let's go into the easement you got right now. The biggest problem right now is four-wheelers, okay? They're coming in, they're leaving your easement, which is attached on the back part of the Highlands community is the name of it now. They leave your easement, they come on my property, they tear up my pasture, they crush John's crops, and one of them even threatened my life. I went to the police, and the police say, can't do anything about it. It's a public trail. You have no signs up. I said, you can't put signs on a public trail. He says, I understand your problem. Can't help you. The trail club can't help me. So I've got to toss the problem back into your lap because you are the folks that own the easement. I need help getting these guys under control. In the meantime, the only thing I could do, because I was so torqued about having a minor subdivision, grounds for taking my land, and now these guys who are threatening my life, and my wife will not let me go down there and work in the woods without a gun. And something's going to happen. So we've got to get this thing under control. I'll give you one copy. We're seeing a lot of that trash that's in that picture.
When was that picture taken?
Last week my wife took it. And there was more there. It was funny. We pulled up to the site, stuck the camera out the car window, and here comes a guy in a pickup truck, pulls right in front of me, blocks my picture. And I said, you come to clean it up? He said, no. He said, I collect scrap metal. So at least he took half of the trash was there. He took all the metal was there. But in the middle of that, you'll see the tracks of the four-wheelers that go in and out of there all the time. They're going into that construction site, which is the golf course property. We authorized them to build an entranceway off of Irishtown Road, but it's not being used for any construction. But it is being used for the four-wheelers who head south, turn east, and go on your easement, okay, and then get on my property and do their wheelies and tear up the turf and threaten me and crush John's crops, okay? That's why I showed you the picture. They're in there on a regular basis. I've had them in the afternoons. I've had them 8 o'clock in the evening. One night they were there from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m., and nothing's being done about it. Okay, last problem I have, the procedure on implementing this with the Planning Commission. You had an individual who took this on as his own personal project, okay? He designated whose land gets taken. He doubled the amount of land and then doubled it again, so we got 62 foot, okay? He's the one that's pushing it through. Over here, you got the president of the hiking club. And the problem you got is the president of the hiking club and this guy are the same guy. I'm not an expert on conflict of interest, but I don't think we should be having people on the Planning Commission pushing their personal projects through, okay, when their clubs are gaining on the other end. It's something I want you to take a look at. It's up to you to do the rest with that. Okay, the next sheet just basically says, I look at the decisions you make, not just on this, but on everything else you're doing, okay, whether it be the sprinkler systems, or whether it be the animal control plan, or whether it be the Sunday hunting, which I'm totally against, because us carriage drivers, horseback riders, hikers, and bikers, we got one day a week. And that creates a problem for you guys, because if people come down your public trail, which you own on that development, the land right next to it is not developed. That's going to be the villages in Northeast, okay? That is open for hunting. So anybody that comes down your trail is going to be subject to bow and arrows, shotguns, or rifles with that hunting season. So that's a potential problem for you. What I've done next is just give you some information statements. If you look at the next one, this is your vision for Cecil County. It comes off your website. A good manager takes his organization towards the vision of the organization. That's all 100,000 of us Cecil County citizens. If you look at this vision statement, the things I'm presenting you tonight are not in alignment with that vision statement, and definitely not with the next one, which is one I had drawn up for groups that were working on the charter plan. This one, I said, had a little more detail and give you a little more insight, okay, as to what I see that you five folks are going to do. We look at you as the seeds of this culture change, and it's not going to be easy. And I know I've been through three culture changes in a major industry group. All three of them failed. And when you want to learn something, you fail at something. And the most catastrophic one, I had a site that had 3,808 jobs. That site now has less than 1,000 jobs. The 2,900 jobs we lost, 94% were over $40,000 a year. And the first one to get let go was the preacher of the band. I went, and I made a good salary. And I went from $80,000 to $12,000 overnight, put out on pension at age 47. That's the kind of catastrophe you can have when you fail at a culture change, okay? So take your job seriously when you're doing this culture thing. I'm reading the paper like everybody else. Get the people who have the expertise, okay, these folks over here, Mr. Wine, all right, but throw in there people that we know charter and also know about culture changes. You got people like Joyce Bowlesby, okay, who worked for a company who was the original culture change company here in the United States. She knows about culture change. She's assertive. She can hold her ground. So I'll throw those 2 cents into you. Pick people that can make a good task force to make it happen. I know I've rambled on. Questions for me, please? Okay, Jim.
I have none.
Would you please remind us when the gentleman on the Planning Commission, what year that was, what that time frame that happened?
Yeah, it's on the sheet. September of 2001
Okay. Is
when they added that imaginary line to the greenways. Normally the greenways are just the waterways coming from Pennsylvania, and we want to protect them.
Okay.
But 2.5 years later is when he doubled it and then doubled it again.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for you on your lost farm freedoms. Tell me about fireman searches.
Okay, we didn't know this, but they've actually done it to me, and it spooked my horses. Firemen have been given the right with loud four-wheelers. I had four of them shot on my property. The wife saw it happen, spooked the horses, and thank goodness she had left the lower pasture gate open. Those horses, when they're spooked, they don't care what kind of fence you got. They'll go through it. Metal, barbed wire, wood, okay? And I've had one go through barbed wire fence. It's a mess. I approached them, because I didn't know who they were. And they said, we're firemen, showed me the badge. And I said, you still should have came up to the house, okay, and did the right thing by saying to me, can I search your property? I would lock the horses in the barn and let them search away.
Search for what?
They were searching for Mr. Abramowitz at that time, 2 days after he was already gone. And I had already done not just the search there, but the four roads that that man used to walk down, because I used to pick him up all the time and take him back home. And I searched every road in Elkton and every road in there.
Hey, tell me about firemen draining ponds.
Okay, they have a right. They approached me when I was working the voting booth with them and told me, said, we just got the right to not only drain your swimming pool, but to drain your pond in order to fight a fire. And they don't care if that pond is filled with fish that are going to go to market on Monday, or my swimming pool, which is filled with fish. Okay.
This is something that someone told you. You haven't seen in code or ordinance, right?
No, this was a fireman that came to me and told me. Yeah, he's on the officer board in Northeast.
You're going by hearsay.
I'm going by what he told me. Yeah.
Tell me about the right to farm limitations.
Okay. You're limited if the township takes over the property. The property, the villages in Northeast, is on the agenda to be annexed by the town of Northeast. The town of Northeast does not have a right to farm. So if the town takes over and annexes it, then the right to farm law does not apply to me because The town now borders me.
Yeah, but they can't. They cannot annex you without your permission.
No, they can annex the villages at Northeast. The 708 houses
so
that are going to be built.
If the property owner wants to give up his right and annex, isn't that his right?
Oh, yeah, they can do that.
Okay, how does that affect you?
Because that borders me, which says now those people no longer have in their deed restrictions where it says they cannot file nuisance complaints against me. They, in fact, now can do it because the townships do not have the right to farm, which the county has.
You're suggesting that if you adjoin a municipality, you no longer have the right to farm rights?
If the town is called a municipality, I don't know your nomenclature.
That's right.
If the town of Northeast is a municipality, yes.
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, that's what the town told me. I went to the town director there. The young lady sat down and said, John, you're right. We do not have a law, and you would not be protected.
So plain and simple. What town ordinance are they going to cite you when you're out of town? I'm sorry. Okay, it's okay.
I don't know about the citation. All I know is I don't have protections from nuisance. If I spread manure down in that corner, they have a right, okay, because there is no right to farm law covering it, to go and file nuisance complaints, which cost me legal bills.
Any other questions?
Mr. Belinsky, did you testify at the animal control hearing?
Yes, ma'am. That's why I missed the fine meeting that Mr. Mullen held with Tony. I would have liked to have been there, but yes, I went to the animal control meeting and talked with the folks there.
I appreciated your testimony. It was insightful. The secret rezoning, can you talk regarding that?
Yeah, there was rezoning that was done back on the property behind me, which used to be a quarry, and it was rezoned to SR. And we, the neighbors, never got notification of it. In fact, we didn't even get to see the first meeting that Tony held with his committee. They have a name for that. Okay. I didn't get to sit on that one. And I didn't even get to sit on the first one until one of my horse friends from Shady Beach Road stopped me in Timonium and said, there's a meeting Monday night on the villages at Northeast and Rhodes Mountain 1 and Rhodes Mountain 2. So here they're building 64 houses here, 708 here. We never got notice, okay? And that was part of how we got, you know, Mrs. Kilby to come to bat for us and say, hey, we really ought to put up signs. We ought to give notice to the people that bordered these properties. But when I showed up at that meeting, nobody from Shady Beach Road, just me from Irishtown Road, nobody else. The only other person there was a person, okay, who's one of what I call the good old boys. He was there. He got notice, okay? So they were holding meetings, and none of us, the neighbors, knew what was going on about it. Okay? I know. A lot to hear. Sorry, Mr. Mullen.
No, it's fine. It's all part of the process.
Got to get it off my chest.
You feel better.
Yep. Like Dr. Phil. Okay. No other questions. Thank you for being patient.
Thank you for this. We don't need a motion to adjourn. I think we're done.